Let's pray, and we'll invite Todd as he comes up to preach the Word of God for us this morning. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Todd and for Terry. We pray your anointing upon Todd as he preaches, that, Lord, you would just speak to all of our hearts, that we would receive what it is you want to give to us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that, Lord, the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. And we pray, Lord, that the advancement of the gospel will go forth to France and to the nations of the earth. We pray and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Whoa. Are we okay? Thank you, Tim. It's a blessing and a joy to be with you. We've had connection, particularly through Tim and John, and so we're glad to be here this weekend and be a part of what God is doing in your church. I wanted to begin this morning by a word of greeting from the Linscombs and the Bowers as well. On our France field, we have a team of over 20 international workers, and it's a great team. We're really blessed to be on the France field. And I know that these two families are in partnership with you as well. So I asked them to send me a photo and just a brief word of greeting or a brief word of what they're doing and to keep you updated. So Jason and Erica wrote this: "Hello, Clay House family. It's been 3 years now since we were sitting in this room with you each Sunday, and it's hard to believe how quickly that time has passed. Our family is doing well, and the ministries we have through technology and hospitality are making an impact on people's lives." Excuse me. "It's exciting to see God is transforming people's hearts, It is exciting to see God is transforming people's heart through Alliance Ministries in France, and are thrilled to be a part of that. We get messages from many of you who are praying for us and are super grateful for our home church, like Clay House, who cares for us in this way. Thank you, Jason and Erica." From Brett and Celine, they wrote this: "Leadership development in French churches tends to focus heavily on gaining knowledge. Often very little attention is given to the health of the leader's soul and a deeper life in Christ. Without healthy leaders, healthy disciples will not be made, and healthy churches will not be multiplied. A major part of Celine and Brett's ministry has been identifying French leaders, specifically ones in their 20s and 30s, and mentoring them to deal with the dark side of their soul and to develop deeper intimacy with Jesus. During these past 3 years, around 100 French church leaders have attended a soul care weekend retreat where they have learned how to live out biblical principles for the healing of their soul. After the retreats, most of the leaders joined small groups and were mentored, and we mentored them over the following months to apply and live out the principles together. Also, we equipped them to eventually mentor other people within their ministry context. God, today we have multiple leaders who have taken the step of faith to mentor others. People around them are witnessing the power and presence of God in their lives. The Spirit of God has been transforming and healing hearts, relationships, and families. These leaders are experiencing a deeper life in Jesus. During the next 2 years, we will be identifying around 25 of these young leaders and walk with them even further in their development as spiritual leaders of the church. This summer, we will develop a plan for that next step. For example, we will help them discover how God has uniquely created them for his kingdom purposes, empower them to step in faith to live out their calling, whether they are school teachers, engineers, or pastors. What skills, passions, giftings, strengths, and personality has the Creator formed in them? And how can that unique design be expressed where God has planted them for his mission? Please pray that we would have wisdom and understanding of how to walk with these leaders for the next step, and pray for the continued work of the Spirit in their lives." And then they mentioned just three family milestones. Emily took her first ever solo international flight to Orlando to attend the Life Conference and to spend time with family. Aiden, their son, will become a teenager this August. And third, in 2021, 2 years from now, we will finish our term and begin home assignment. Emily will graduate from high school and start college. many transitions are ahead of us. So that's a word from the other two, and there's a picture as well, I believe, out in the foyer of them as well. So Terry and I, it just occurred to me that maybe you don't know much about us either, so I didn't even think about maybe introducing us as a family, but Terry and I have four children. Our oldest daughter, Sarah, and her husband are living in Hyde Park, Chicago, and then he is attending the University of Chicago and some complicated degree that I can't quite figure out. But and then our second daughter is married as well, and they have two children and expecting any moment now. Actually, I think the due date is the 8th, but expecting our third grandchild with Peter and Becky. And then our third daughter is a nurse in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and our son, Thomas, is just finished Calvin with a biochem degree a year ago, and he's kind of looking for a job in Chicago. He's down in Mexico right now visiting his fiance. So that's our family. But I've entitled this morning's message, Is It Worth It? Is It Worth It? Wherever we turn in our world, we see great need for the gospel. This is just as true in Colorado Springs as it is in France. And I'm very aware of the growing secular atheistic attitude here in the United States that reflects the attitudes and beliefs of those who we're trying to reach in France. You'll see this next slide. I volunteer in a co-op bike shop in Bordeaux in order to be involved in our local community and share the love of Christ with others. The other volunteers that I work alongside of at the shop are caring, devoted people seeking to help others and to create a better society. However, they serve not because they believe in God. In fact, it's just quite the opposite. The majority of them are atheists who are opposed to Christianity and who, by and large, view the church as a means of religious oppression. So just like here in the States, there are difficult barriers to overcome in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, there is a difference between the context in France and the context here. It revolves around this issue of access. And if you've been in the Alliance very long, you've heard this word access. It revolves around this issue. Most people in France have never met someone who truly knows the way of Christ and can explain it to them. It's kind of amazing, like in this bike shop. I've been there now for about 5 or 6 years, and sometimes they just don't know what to do with me. Here's this, you know, most of them are vegan, you know, some of them are anarchists, and they just don't know what to do with this 62-year-old gray-headed pastor, evangelical pastor in their bike shop. But they've never had met many of them. Most of them have not rubbed shoulders to explain it to them, churches who proclaim the life-giving message of the gospel are few and far between. In most cities in the States, you would be hard-pressed to drive a few blocks without seeing a Protestant church. This is simply not the case in France. One of the members of our church who occasionally travels to the States on business mentioned how he was amazed at how you could turn on the radio and almost always tune into a Christian radio station. So access to the gospel is greatly limited in comparison to what is available to us here in the States. This is why 2 years ago, Pastor Tim and John Corby and Matt took a vision trip to France to explore the possibility of partnering with a church plant effort like ours in Bordeaux in order to help provide access where there is little access found. Tim Crouch, our vice president for Alliance Missions, often talks about gospel access for and from all peoples. Our vision is not simply to give access to those who lack it, but rather to see a network of churches raised up from whom access will flow for their own people group and from whom it will continue to flow to other people groups around the world who lack access. Tim says that nothing is as sustainable as the church, and nothing much done in Jesus' name is sustainable without the church. We need this network of churches to continue the proclamation of the gospel. And this summarizes well our vision for the work in Bordeaux. It is our deep desire to see a vibrant church, a healthy church, raised up in Bordeaux, which will become a beachhead for the Alliance work in southwestern France. And not only for the work in southwestern France, but then to continue on to become a place to provide access in France, but beyond the borders of France. I'm here this morning to report to you on what God is doing in Bordeaux and to encourage you to persevere in the partnership. I resonate with the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, when Paul says this, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." And that's what I rejoice in as well with you. Let me pray before I continue. Spirit of God, thank you. Speak to us. You are here. You are present. Father, I pray that you give us the ability to see things from your perspective, see this world from your perspective, and to join you in your mission around the world. Use these words, these moments, to encourage us in our faith and to move us a step farther. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're anything like me, there are moments, those moments of doubt, fatigue, discouragement, when you ask yourself the question, is it all worth it? Perhaps you're writing out a check each month to the Great Commission Fund and wonder if it's making any difference, especially in light of the fact that you have a host of bills to pay at the end of the month and you've got a couple kids to get through college. Is it worth it? Perhaps you work at the national office and have problematic missionaries to deal with, for those of you that work at the national office. Or unpopular decisions. I was rubbing shoulders with a few of our leaders this morning at breakfast. You know, you have unpopular decisions to make where you end up being the bad guy and you can't win no matter what. You know, and you know, you ask yourself, is it worth the headache? Perhaps you spend time praying, but you don't see the results you're praying for and you wonder, does it make any difference at all? I'm not sure if you've had moments like these, but I do. I have them when I talk to my grandkids on Skype from France, and I wish I could just reach through the computer screen just to hold them and hug them because I hadn't had that opportunity. I have moments like these when I pour myself into working with someone, spending much time and effort and prayer, only to see them walk away with no appreciation or maybe perhaps disgust at times and turn and walk away, and while at the same time, I have a grown child on the other side of the ocean who's in need of my time and my help. I have moments like these when I'm laboring over a sermon or the preparation for an important meeting or a sensitive conversation where I really need to get the language right, trying to figure out the best way to say something, to communicate effectively in French. Even after being in the language for years and years, it's still not your mother tongue. There are still nuances and expressions to be learned or avoided. You're still the stranger, and sometimes when it doesn't go well and it just all seems to jumble up in your mouth, the words like oatmeal and dry oatmeal or whatever the expression you might want to use, you just say, I've had enough. You know, I just like to live somewhere where I can understand and I'm understood. It's in moments like these we ask ourselves the question, is it worth it? And the response is, what do you think the response is? What would I say if I was up here as a missionary? I'd better say yes, right? Yeah, the response is yes. 100 times, yes. It's worth it. It's worth it. The work can be slow. The work can be hard and demanding. It can be costly, but little by little, the kingdom of God is advancing and access is being provided so that people can come to know the Savior Jesus Christ and be incorporated into the loving community of His church, a community like this. It's in these moments that we need to step back and see the big picture of what God is doing. And see that God is on the move. He's on the move in the city of Bordeaux to establish a church which is becoming a beachhead of access. So this morning I wanted to highlight, there's many things I could say, but I wanted to highlight just three things that God is doing. The first thing, it is worth it because people are being saved. Let me see if we, if we can move on to the next one. There we go. People are being saved. Here's a picture of some people who have come to Christ over the past few years and have been baptized in our church. And, you know, as I was preparing this message and looking at their faces, it just brought back again. It is worth it. And there's a lot of problems, a lot of baggage, I'm telling you, right there in that picture. And a lot of hours spent, but it's worth it. You have seen the video and you've heard the story of Emmanuel. I was tempted to show up, and I thought, no, they've probably seen it 100 times, so I won't show it again. But you've seen the story of Emmanuel. But let me share you the sequel to her story, the story about her daughter, Aurelia. A couple years ago, Aurelia, seeing the change in her mom, Emmanuel is down there on the right, the right corner. After seeing the change in her mom, she wanted to start exploring this. What is this faith in Christ? She had never been to an evangelical church before. I don't know if she's ever been to a Protestant church before. But she came and one Sunday morning, and we were there. We were so excited she was there, but I saw her leave halfway through the service. And I asked Emmanuel afterwards, why'd she go? And she said, it's just too much. She just couldn't handle it. This is just too much. And we're not a loud, wild church. But she couldn't handle it. But, you know, God was at work. And she came back a few weeks later, and she came to another service. And that time she stayed, I think, the whole time. And then we were having a six-week dinner discussion exploring the faith. And we invited Aurelia. We had about, five or six non-believers that were part of that time. And she came and she stayed for each week for 6 weeks. And God began to speak to her. The corner up there in the corner, right the corner, is Terry, my wife, and Flori, who is a dynamic young woman in our church. And her husband, we said, you got to be part of this. You got to see people come to Christ. And when they come to Christ, man, you just want to be a part of this. And so she came right in, and she came alongside Aurelia with Terry. And Aurelia just began to explore, and she said she was ready. At first, she was living with someone at the time, and you know, we said, well, let's talk about things. She said she wasn't sure what she wanted to give up and if this was all really worth it, but she gave her life to Christ. And she was baptized, as you see there in that picture. And she's part of a small group, and she's growing, and it's exciting to see. Now, pray for her. We have an SOS type of prayer chain at our church, and she's going through some tough times right now, a place to live, and some struggles with that and with work. And as a young believer, I just want to just take her and say, don't worry, you'll get through this. I don't want her to get discouraged, but pray for her, Aurelia. It is worth it. Why? It's worth it because people are being saved. They're coming into the kingdom. People who were lost and didn't know Jesus now know Jesus today. And you're part of that story. It's worth it because leaders are being raised up. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So last year, I set the alarm daily on my telephone, the alarm at 10:02 every morning. And I said, Lord, just remind me to pray for leaders. We are going through kind of a tough time at the moment. I already shared this several times this weekend, so sorry if I heard it. But we had like five or six leaders in a small group church of 40, and when you have key leaders get transferred out, it's kind of a tough blow. And we're without elders again and wondering how this is all going to work. And we know we're going on home assignment in a year. And so we just started praying and asking the Lord to lead. And so every day, just praying, God, give us leaders, and how is this going to work? And so just a little bit of the story. You see there on the left myself praying, and then Luke, who have you been a part of in helping support. Luke as a student intern last year, and now he's an intern pastor at our church. And the next to him is Jean-Yves, who has become one of our elders. And so Jean-Yves and I and another man, Stefan, and then when Luke came, we had a weekly, we were meeting together to pray and to look at the Word and share our lives in Christ and just praying that God would raise these men up to be leaders in our church. And so in this picture here, Jean-Yves is being prayed for as an elder, and Luke was being prayed for as coming on as an interim pastor. Luke, we spent a lot of time last year. He was in his fourth year of Bible school as an intern, student intern, a lot of mentoring, a lot of praying together. And I told Luke, if this goes well, then we're going to pray that God provides so that you can stay on this year during our home assignment as interim pastor. I told Luke, we're praying that that's going to go well and God will provide, and then you stay on as the head pastor. And Terry and I will take a back seat and start work on new church plants in other places. And that's exactly what God is doing. I was so excited this past week to get a letter. Luke sent me the notes from their elder meeting with he and Jean-Yves. And one of the things they did in their meeting is eight elements of what they wanted to see in their church. They wanted to develop a lot of things there, but a couple of them really hit me. He says, we want to plant a new church in 10 years. So he already has that vision. And then he says, we want to see our church double from 40 to 80 people in 5 years. And we want to be autonomous financially within 5 years. And so what was encouraging to me is, you know, I was worried, how's this going to go? You know, we're stepping back, we're here, and is the church going to move forward? Just to see these two men step up and lead and have a vision and becoming exactly what we're praying for, a beachhead of access in southwestern France. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, it's worth it because the Alliance mission DNA is filling the soul of the church. From the conception of this church, we have sought to instill a missionary vision. Gabrielle, she's the middle one on the right in black. What a wonderful woman, a woman of God. She has taken on the role of missions mobilizer, communicator in our church. And every month she has a time in the Sunday service where she shares missionary prayer requests and needs. And she's heading us that. Every year during the month of February is consecrated to missions. So every Sunday we try to get in missionaries and talking about missions. We're trying to talk about the faith promise. Not getting it real well yet, but we're working on that. But the church did decide to give 10% of everything it receives in that offering plate. 10% automatically goes to missions, and we've been doing that for the last year and a half. So this vision is growing in them. And then a real milestone for us was this group of women, five women from our church, who went to Mafraq, Jordan, about a year and a half ago to work with the Syrian refugees at the Alliance Church. And they're really seeing themselves part of the Alliance movement worldwide. And again, just an indication of a church becoming a beachhead. These are only three highlights of what God is doing in Bordeaux. Many other things could be shared, but each one of them, as I said, indicate that a church is being raised up, which we trust will provide ongoing gospel access to Southwest France and to the world. So is it worth it? Is it worth all the time, all the effort, and all the cost? Absolutely. It's absolutely worth it. We can be encouraged. God is on the move in Bordeaux. Amen. Yet, there was something that struck me as I was preparing this message, something that made me a bit uneasy. In fact, the Lord had a surprise ending for me in all this, one I didn't expect to share with you. He put the thought in my mind that what if Terry and I were coming home and we could not share with you these wonderful stories of conversion? What if we came home and nobody came to Christ last 4 years? What if we couldn't share with you these stories of leaders being raised up? What if we couldn't share with you that there's a church moving forward in mission? Would all the time, effort, and expense still be worth it? Is it primarily the results that constitute whether what we do is worth it or not? And contemplating this question, my thoughts turn to the story about the woman who anointed Jesus with oil that is recounted in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. So if you have your Bibles, maybe you could look it up and read along with me. Mark chapter 14, well, it's written up there. I'll give you just a moment to take a look on your phones or in your Bibles or wherever you look these days. Mark writes this: while he was in Bethany, Jesus, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. I like that. She did what she could. "She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." This woman, out of pure love for Jesus, anointed him with an extravagant amount of expensive perfumed oil. To the disciples looking on, it just seemed like a waste. It didn't accomplish much. It didn't feed the poor. It didn't seem to produce any tangible kingdom results. In fact, a lot of the perfume probably ended up on the floor. But that's not how Jesus saw it. He saw it as a beautiful expression of this woman's love. That was enough for him. That was enough. Jesus said this simple expression of love would be recounted wherever the gospel is preached. And here we are some 2,000 years later, and we're still talking about it, aren't we? And still being inspired by this woman's example. I'm struck by the extravagance of this woman's offering. It was extravagant both in its generosity and its sacrifice. It was a large amount of expensive perfume, equivalent to the common person's annual salary. So it's quite extraordinary when you think about it, when we consider what she did for Jesus. When was the last time that you wrote a check for the cause of Christ that was in the amount of your annual income? That's what this woman did. Her offering was extravagant because her love for Jesus was extravagant. And I believe that her love was extravagant because she herself had experienced the extravagant love and grace of Jesus herself. So without question, yes, we want to see a vibrant church established in Southwest France. Yes, we want to see a church that's providing gospel access that one day will continue to do so, that will just continue to do so for generations to come. And we can be encouraged, and I want you to be encouraged, of what God is doing in Bordeaux. However, perhaps the word of the Lord for this morning is this. It's the reminder that it should not be the results which drive us. We live in a performance-based culture where we want to get the most, you know, for our investment and see what it produces and get the most for our buck. But it should not be the results which drive us, but rather our simple love for Jesus. What will sustain us and continue to motivate us in mission? I believe it's this. It's a growing, extravagant love for Jesus Christ. It is worth it, everything we do, whether we see results or not, because Jesus is worth it. Amen? Father, thank you for your word. And I pray that you would help us to be people that serve you, that love you first, and because we love you, no matter what, we will serve you. We will give. We will write the check. We'll do whatever you ask of us. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.